You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. Giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow.
Like to announce that we have a couple of really cool youth activities that are going to be going on. You probably saw those flash up before the service started. And in your sale, you'll see that we're going to the Skate Factory. So that's anybody 6th grade through 12th grade can join us on August 10th. And then we also have a back-to-school bash. I'm sorry, kids. I know you don't want to hear anything about going back to school, but we have to plan ahead. So there is a back-to-school bash with a water slide, also for middle school and high school. And then we have our Blaze Pizza fundraiser. That's a fundraiser for our church. Blaze Pizza will give back to our church a percentage of what is spent there that night. So that is August 2nd. And then we're continuing throughout the summer every Monday night doing our visitation at 6 o'clock. Anybody that would like to come and join, you just meet us out in front of the church office, and then we break up into teams and we go out. That has been a big blessing for me and for many people. If you are brand new here today or you haven't filled out one of our welcome slips, please do that. We would love to connect with you in any way you wish. You can indicate there if you'd like a phone call or a visit or an email, but we'd love to connect with you and give you more information about our church. So if you would fill that out and place that in the offering plate. But at this time, let's go ahead and greet one another. Good morning.
Let us pray. You are worthy of it all, Lord. We're not worthy of what we get for free from you, Lord. We just don't deserve the grace that you give us. Lord, we just give it all back to you. Lord, we just ask that you would take these tithes and use them to your glory. And Lord, just bless the tithe givers. Lord, we just ask that you would lay your healing hand on everybody in this sanctuary that needs some healing. Lord, you know every hair on our head, so you know everybody's pains and problems. Lord, we just ask you to please bless each and every one of us here. All this week.
Thank you. And yes, let the kids go away. Well, I've been told many times you better let them leave, so I'm just letting them go. I have to tell you that last week, on my first message, I didn't realize how you get used to your environment. I come from a little church. When we step on the pulpit, we up on the stage, we have one step, just one. This was like walking up the mountain for Moses to look across the valley to the people of God. I was like, whoa. And so I quickly said, let's pray, because I was like, it was so weird. My folks, the first row is like right there. So we have, and then we don't have any row. If you were back there, you'd be out in the yard of our building. But it was like, whoa, I didn't realize it was going to be such a strange change for my thinking. So I'm now used to you, but sorry, you got one more week with me. But good news is your blessed, beloved pastor will be back next week, God willing. So you'll get back to the truth and so forth. I've been compelled this morning again to go on from just not being saved by grace, but living by grace. And about Thursday, finally, I felt the Lord press me And I need to just make myself very open. So I'm going to use myself as a guinea pig to try to help develop this thinking today. We are looking at verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2. It says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So when we talk about we are his workmanship, I want you to understand is that's got to do with being reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, makes us ready to be used for good works is the concept behind that. And so I need to get back, and I don't think I've ever done this in preaching. I'm going to just open up my life. I gave part of my testimony last week, if you were here, how God just divinely broke into my life. I was a churchgoer for all my life, and I prayed a little prayer when I was 5. I never repented of my sins. I didn't even know I had sins at 5. I never read the Bible. I heard stuff a little bit when I went to church, but I never read, I never prayed, I never did anything. But I believed I was going to heaven until God awakened me, divinely overwhelmed me with his forgiveness, his mercy, and his grace upon me. And so what I want to talk about then is ask the question, what happens when a person is born again? And I'll use my illustration, because even though I was in church, I didn't understand the Bible at all. So the night, I mentioned that night, I went to a youth group thing. They were singing some songs. I never was there before and had nothing to do with them. Suddenly, the Spirit of God filled me, came into my life, which is what it means to be born again. The problem was, I didn't know that, and I was so overwhelmed. The only thing I thought was God touched me with love. I had no idea what was that about, because I never read the Bible to even understand it. But the thing that happened that night, I went home, got up in the morning, and suddenly something changed in me. I starved for the Bible. I needed to read the Bible. I sat in the church for almost 20 years and didn't, and suddenly this new thing happened. I felt like I was starving. And I went down to the, I actually found there was a Christian bookstore in town, which I never knew, went there and bought a Bible. I mean, I could use my mom's or something, but I didn't even really have a Bible. And I started reading and reading and reading and reading and reading, and I couldn't stop reading. I had to go to school. I was in college. I had to go to work. But every second I could do, I went back and read my Bible. It was so bad that a lot of times when I got home from school, I didn't go to work. I'd get home for dinner time. I would eat dinner, and I'd go straight to my room. And I would get on my knees, open the Bible, and read and read and read. The problem was I read till as long as it was at night, and I finally fell asleep. My face fell on my Bible. I slept half the time, drooling all over the thing, and whatever you do when you're sleeping. Some other times I tried to not do that. I got up and sat on my bed. I still kept reading till I fell asleep, and then I'd roll on it, rip pages out. I'd have to go buy other Bibles. I could not get enough. The hunger and thirst that came in me was so amazing. And I believe me, I would have sat through every sermon before that. Instead, God poured out a hunger in my heart. Well, I didn't understand that. I didn't understand why I had that. And so I was struggling with trying to figure out what was going on. And secondly, my conscience came alive like a pinball machine. And I mean by that, it just, poof, suddenly all the sins that I was living in, which I didn't know they were sins and even think about them, were becoming conviction on me. I was feeling such strong conviction and grief that I didn't know what was happening to me. And every little evil thought I had and all the stuff I was doing, it just started like a fire burning in my conscience. I thought, what's going on with me? It was so powerful, I didn't know what to do with it. On top of that, I started to have such a hunger not to live in that sin. It was so overwhelming. I felt this battle of, I don't want to sin, but I can't stop sinning. And what's wrong with me? And why is this here? And I kept trying to understand the Bible. All this stuff, I felt myself in a chaotic swirl of life all of a sudden. I didn't have any way to understand what was going on. I went to a Baptist church. I've been a Baptist church from the time I was young. And so a couple of my friends who are also hungry, we asked the pastor if he would help us, and he said no. He wouldn't talk to us. Now, you got to admit, my hair was down to here. I look like a hippie. I don't know if that scared him. Back then, it was kind of scared a lot of people. I didn't know that. All I knew is I couldn't wait. A Sunday wasn't enough. I tried to understand the Bible. I just was driven. I need to understand. I read it. Of course, I understood David did this and Jesus did that. But what I didn't understand, I couldn't get any connection in my brain of what it had to do with me and how I was supposed to live. And all I knew is I had sin, but I couldn't get rid of it. Didn't know how to get rid of it. I didn't know what to do. All this stuff was swirling inside me. It was a chaotic time for me. But on top of that, I could not stop talking about Jesus. I told everybody Jesus. I talked Jesus. I used to work for my dad at a gas station. Back in the day when, you know, I took the orders, I pumped the gas. You sat in your car and waited, not having to do it yourself. So I would talk to people, tell them about Jesus. And I didn't force it, but if they let me, I talked about Jesus. Hundreds of people, I'm talking about Jesus. I couldn't stop talking about Jesus. I told everybody. I told my friends. I told everybody I knew. I just couldn't stop talking. So while I'm in battle, while I'm struggling, while I'm tearing up and sinning and not wanting to sin and trying to understand the Bible, having a hard time with the Bible, I didn't really know what to do except for that sin, that all that happened. I started to have a hunger for righteousness that I couldn't compel myself to stop either. So I want to do right, and it kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger in me, and all of these things were just developing in me. And so I didn't know what to do. So I went to college during the morning. I worked in the afternoons, not every day afternoon. I also had my own church and my own friends from church. I had kind of a parallel thing going on in my life. So when I went to college, the next thing that happened to me is I was driven to be with Christians. I didn't even think about that. I just went to church on Sunday, went home. Suddenly, I had this driving hunger to have fellowship with Christians. I found there was a chaplain at the college and found out that I could, and I connected with the people there real quick. Well, on top of that, while all this is going on, I don't know what to do, but I feel driven to do this, and I didn't know why I was driven. I just knew I never was like that before. I was like dead to God before. Well, duh, that's what the Bible says, right? Dead in trespasses and sin. As this went on, I met some of these kids, and some of the kids were volunteering for Youth for Christ Campus Life. You ever heard of that? It's on high school campuses. I volunteered. So I started going to meetings, and I went to schools, and just I didn't know what to do. I handed out pencils and papers at the meetings. I didn't know how to do anything. And then I started just talking to kids and just telling about Jesus. That's all I knew. And I guess Jesus people at that time, that's all we did. That's all we knew. I didn't know enough about the Bible to do much past that. All of the turmoil was growing in me. I did not understand the Bible. I had no one to help me understand the Bible. But here's the thing. The Bible here in our verse says we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. That meant transformed, renewed, reborn, being readied for good work. I didn't know that. All I was confused. I never heard of this. I needed somebody to tell me that. So I spent lots of weeks and months on my knees pleading with God because I didn't know what else to do. I didn't want to sin any longer, and I kept doing it. And I would on my knees begging him. In fact, I was really bad. I decided to have a Bible study with God. Again, my stupidity. I pulled out the Bible. I opened it to where it said in Romans that I was free from sin. And I showed him and said, you wrote this. And I'm telling you, don't ever do what I do. I didn't know any better. I was just desperate. And this is a lie, is what I told him. That's not good. Calling God a liar, you know, come on. I said, it's not true. I can't see that happening. I don't know what you want me to do. I struggled and struggled. But you know what it did? It made me humble myself and get on my knees because I couldn't fix myself, which is the whole point. Being born again is a miracle. It's a miracle. And all it drove me to is on my knees begging. My friends started to get together because we couldn't wait and the pastor wouldn't talk to us. We started to have our own Bible study, which is not a good idea when you don't know what you're talking about. So we argued about everything. We tried. We had a blast, and we weren't arguing because we were mad. We were just trying to figure out what was going on. So we met every Tuesday night for that. I went to other places and did other things with Youth for Christ, everything. But on all those struggles, inside I had this dying hate for what I was doing. I was so tired of sinning and not wanting to sin. I was so tired of living in defeat. I was tired of asking for help. I didn't know if God would ever hear me, but I remembered he spoke to me before, so I was hoping he would speak to me again. And as I continued without able to stop the drive that he put in my heart, he began to do a good work in me. And that's what he says here in Scripture. We are his workmanship. So what does God do when you're born again? Well, that goes back to Ezekiel chapter 36. I mentioned this last week, I think. His promise to us is that I will give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Well, I didn't know exactly what all that meant, but I will put my spirit within you. That I get. The Holy Spirit that Israel is afraid of, that was in the hidden behind the curtains and everything, he's no longer behind there. He's in Christians? Whoa. But this is what helped. When he puts the Spirit in you, it says he will cause you to walk in my statutes. He will cause me to do that. And you will keep my judgments and do them. He will work in me and cause me to be obedient. Wow, that's good because I was losing the battles. He does supernatural things in our hearts. His Spirit does things. All of the chaos that I thought I had was normal. It wasn't bad. I was ready to give up because I thought I sinned more as a Christian than I wasn't a Christian, so I must go back to not being a Christian because I didn't get it. And it wasn't true. I just knew I was sinning then. Before, I didn't know I was sinning. But here's where it got me. You will make me so that I can keep your commandments? Wow. And over the process, and I want to tell you, I'm talking about just 4 months being a Christian. All that things happened. About the 4.5 month time, I came across in the Bible where it said that Jesus went and healed 10 lepers. Now, remember the story? Now, if you know lepers, you know the story. These people were left to basically be out in the woods and by themselves. Nobody would deal with them or help them, have mercy on them. They were just forever going to die out there doing nothing except for keeping from everybody saying unclean, unclean, and getting a little bit what they could do. They were very, very broken and hurting people. Jesus walked right up to them and healed them. Of course they were happy and excited. Of course they said, woohoo, and ran off. But remember, there was one guy, he turned around and ran back and said, I'm sorry, thank you. And you know, that convicted me so badly. I was so in the middle of all my chaos and my struggle and my hurt and trying to do what was right and failing all the time and all the things I was doing, I never said thank you. Oh, that burned a hole in my heart. So what I thought, but I don't know how to show you this. So I began praying to the Lord. And day after day, I'd say, I'm sorry, I'm thankful, but how can I show you I love you? I don't know. I thought maybe he'd tell me to put some money in an offering plate or something. I don't know. But you know, the strangest thing happened. As I was talking to somebody at the gas station, a guy stopped and said, are you a preacher? I'm like, do you see my hair? What are you talking about? A couple days later, I was with the high school kids. Kid says, Are you a preacher? I said, of course not. Who would be a preacher? I mean, come on. Another day or two went by. Another person. I began circling around me. People, they don't know each other, nothing. And they're like, I thought, this is the weirdest thing I ever heard of. Where do these strange people, how do they work together, come around in a circle and tell me over and over and over again, that's how dumb I was, right? So finally, after a few weeks of this, I went to our Tuesday night Bible study with my friends, and actually we had a mentor that had kind of led our youth. And so I went early because I was going to tell them, this is the dumbest, craziest thing I ever heard of. You got to hear this story. And I told them all these weird people talking to me and telling me I should be a preacher. And it's the weirdest thing. Who would ever do that? And that's so weird. How could all those people do that at the same time? And after I went on for a while, like you hear me fast and whatever, he sat quietly looking in my eyes and he said, you know, and this was about March at this time. He said, you know, I've really felt since January that God's calling you to be a preacher. Goosebumps. I trusted him. He was a man of God. He was helping us. And I thought, no way. Why would he want a wicked sinner like me to ever try that? And besides, I don't like being up in front of people. I like to sit in the back row. I don't get this. And I was just astounded. I thought, that can't be right. But I had to ponder it for a number of days. And I finally realized, why would he, through his praying, feel like I should do this? And I asked, how can I show you I love you? Remember Jesus talking to Peter? Peter, do you love me? Yeah. Feed my sheep. Three times. Whoa. No one will listen to me. Why would I go do that? Finally, I said, Lord, if you want me to do this, it sounds dumb to me because I don't know how you'd use me, but I'm willing to do what you want. Now, the reason I say all this is because in 6 months' time, I went from the most dead sinner in the world to being called, giving my calling. You know, all of you have a calling. It may not be the same as mine, but you have a calling that God wants. And that's why I wanted to just lay out my life. I was so wicked. I was so immoral. I was all these things going on. And yet God, by his divine influence, came upon me. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the Bible says, that Paul wrote, he says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Sanctify is a big word for setting apart for something. God set Paul apart to do a mission. He sets you apart to do a certain assignment. You are called, no matter what it is, whether you're called to be a teacher, whether you're called to be a helper in the church, hand out bulletins, anything is a calling that you can do that God expands with assignments he gives you. He sets us apart for this. And it says here, I will take the hardest, that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He calls you. He calls all of us. He calls us not just with our brains so we have faith in our brain. He calls us so we can pick up our bodies, like Romans 12, 1 and 2 talk about, becoming living sacrifices for him. I got that finally. I gave it to the Lord and said, I don't know how you would ever use me, but here I am, my body, my mind, will, and emotions, everything. I'll try my best, but I don't know what else you want me to do. I don't know how to do it. Have you ever come to that place in your life where you understand that as a follower of Jesus, you're not here to just sit on a seat on a Sunday morning to hear one sermon and go home and do the same things you've always done? He calls us as believers with a calling. You must commit to him and find that calling and serve him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and body. That's his call for you. Are you there? Have you done that? If you look on your listening guide, if you have it, I've got a chart, and I don't think it'll be seeable much up on the screens, but this, it's got to do with trying to comprehend what happens when the Spirit of God comes inside you. It's basically showing the circle of the center of your life where your spirit is. Your soul is wrapped around your spirit because you are a spiritual being, and you speak through your mind. You think and give through your will, your soul, and you also have emotions that come out of your soul. And so you are like a supernatural being born again. Think about that in itself. God is in you. You're not normal. You have a supernatural divine influence inside your heart. What are you doing with that? God Almighty is desiring to take you and walk you into his kingdom work. And when you look at this whole concept, you think of how does that happen? Well, when the Spirit comes in, you remember, I think I mentioned Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they're the ones who will go to heaven. And we talked about the point of that saying is, you who see how wicked you are, you have no righteousness in you whatsoever. When you see that, you're the one that's being blessed by God because he's bringing you through his divine influence into salvation. And when you see that, what happens, it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. You mourn over the fact of your sins to the place where it so breaks you, it drives you to repentance. And Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit earth. And the meek are the ones who submit. You know your sin, you're so sorry for it, you submit to the will of God. And then it says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Man, I finally got it. I was hungering for righteousness forever. And God was doing it in me. He was calling me and moving within me, and I sensed his righteousness, and it was like a burning fire to me, and it made my sins look horrible, and I had all that. He was doing this work. It says he promised he will fill those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Well, what's he going to fill you with? Righteousness. That's the whole point. He was flooding me inside with, no wonder I hated sin. No wonder I wanted to keep moving. It was his spirit in me as I was born again. He was working to change me and transform me and make me a different person. And that's so important to see. And it also says that he says, blessed are those who show mercy. You know, I was a prideful, hard-hearted, laugh at somebody kind of guy. It broke my life with this happened with Jesus. I had mercy coming out of me that I didn't know existed. It didn't exist. And also, it says, blessed are those that are pure. Pure. What do you think the Holy Spirit's doing when he's filling you with righteousness and convicting you of your sin? He's purifying you. He's purifying you. He's purifying you within so that you are cleansing away from sin. And then it says, blessed are the peacemakers. That's not trying to keep your brothers from fighting each other. Peacemakers are those that are trying to build a bridge from God to you. You are the peacemaker drawing people with the gospel of Jesus to have a relationship with God. All these steps I began to understand were coming because God himself was indwelt in me and causing me to do what he wanted. He was making me hunger for what he wanted. All of this is supernatural, being born again. Can you say your experience of a Christian, it has this? Do you sense the Spirit of God in you causing you to do these things? That's what the word promises. Don't be like I was, living in church for almost 20 years and bouncing everything off me, hearing nothing. Instead, I call you to consider where you are in your faith. The Bible says that we are flooded with righteousness so that we will love like Jesus loves. I didn't love anybody but myself, let alone. So I had to do some major transformation. So he floods us with his righteousness to blow us away. In fact, when it talks about in Scripture, he who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Living water doesn't mean like a nice flowing river. It's a gushing flood blasting through, which will blow you away and push you along and find out what righteousness is all about. It pushes you and shoves you, so forth, because God doesn't wait for us to understand. That's my life. I didn't have time to understand. I was just getting bombarded by God and didn't even understand it, which caused me confusion. Is God flowing in your heart? Is he pushing you to learn what it means to follow him? It says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, and this is under we are transformed from sons of disobedience to sons of obedience. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. Listen. For your fellowship in the gospel. I couldn't understand why God kept pushing me to be around Christians. I didn't understand. He wants us to be in fellowship with others. I didn't have the doctrine in my head, but boy, did he pull it from me in his spirit, pull me to that. Do you feel the drawing you need to be with brothers and sisters in the faith? Do you feel the hunger to be together, to glorify God? Do you feel that drawing? That's what's told to us by the Scripture, the rivers of living water. He's pulling and pushing. It says also, being confident in this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The work that he's doing inside you is the work to make you know you, transform you to be like Christ so that you do something about it. Paul also says in Philippians 2:13, for God is working in you, giving you the desires and the power to do what pleases him. Have you ever camped on that thought for a while? Grace is that constant divine influence working inside you, changing your desires from your own joy, pleasure, sports, everything that consumes you. There's nothing wrong with having an interest in sports. There's nothing wrong with taking a break. But is that your life? Is that your flow? Is that where you're living? As soon as you get out of here, you can't go wait. You get back to your boat, watching your sports, go golfing. And you're consumed. If you're consumed with all that all the time, and you give God an hour on Sunday, there's something wrong. That's not what being born again is all about. Are you born again? Number two, we are spiritually transformed for the purpose of doing the good works of the kingdom. Ephesians 2:10 says, we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. God didn't save you like a genie so you can go out and follow all your wishes. He created you, gave you birth so that you would turn from yourself and your selfishness. He wants you to turn and find his good works. I work all week. Who wants to work for God too? A lot of people come tired to church and they just hope and wait for an encouraging word so they can go back out. That's not what God's saying. He created you to do good works. He calls you. Look, for example, it's just simple. There's a couple, it could be a million verses, but Acts 13:2, it says that the Holy Spirit said to the church where Paul and Barnabas were, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work. Paul later in Romans 13:3 says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers. We're called to work. And so I encourage you to see, if that's not you, ask God. seek him. You think, oh, I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too busy. I'm whatever. Every state of your life, no matter if you are a born-again believer, God's got a call for you, a work. It may be crying out to God in intercession. Boy, do we need prayer warriors. It could be other things. But God still wants you. He still wants to use you for his kingdom and his glory. Don't give up. To the day of your last breath, work for the kingdom. Please him. Serve him. Help others. Even if it's your own grandkids, great-grandkids, even if it's your neighbor's kids, if you help and know the anything, let God use you. He wants to. He really loves you and wants you to be a part of his family of workers, because that's the family business, you know. God's family business is he loves the world. He gave his son. He so loves the world, and we're still in it. He also gives us divine grace gifts to help the saints. Do you know that spiritual gifts of Romans 12 are for you to help each other in here? That's what the gifts are for. It's so commonly misunderstood sometimes what gifts are. Romans 12, 4 says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." When you ever hear the word one another, remember there's probably 20-some places where God tells us to do stuff one another, to love one another, pray for one another, be kind to one another, encourage one another. Having gifts differing according to the grace, and this is why I know it's grace, it's the divine influence upon your heart from the Holy Spirit in you. These gifts are given to us. Let us use them. It says, if prophecy, let us prophesy. I know Baptists, we don't like that word because you think of other people that go crazy and stuff. This word is the same word we use for preacher here. If you're called to preach the truth of the gospel, then do it with all the faith you have. Or ministry, which means to be a servant, a helper. Let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts, which means encouraging people to succeed, overcome their problems, and help them walk with God. He who gives with liberality. Those are financial folks that give either stuff or money or financial to help this church and our churches go. And man, I tell you right now, you guys are doing great. When I heard about $1 million in this, I'm thinking, I'm going to tell my friends back home, we were hoping for 10,000. Woohoo! You know, God has blessed you. That's amazing. God's got to work for you. It also says, he who leads, do it with diligence. And he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. These seven interlocking gifts of the Spirit are what you and I need from each other. We need each other. You and I are part of this team of work. It's not just the pastor's job to encourage you and preach to you and minister to you and exhort you and lead you. If you think that, you're wrong. God is calling you to step up. You have these gifts, and God wants you to be a part of it so that you're strengthening one another. You know what Scripture actually tells a pastor to do? He's supposed to equip you and train you to do the work. I grew up in a church. We'd almost want to go to church on during the week just to watch the pastor wash windows. He was supposed to do everything. We didn't understand. We were supposed to help. But that's not it, is it? Many of you know that's true. I want to help you with one last thing. I don't have anywhere time to preach this thing, but I want you to understand, how does transforming you, like God's talking about as being born again, how does that actually happen? Yes, God does the things, but how do we respond back to him? How do we cooperate with him? Peter gives an entire truth on that. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm just going to read some of it, so that you can hear and remind you I have camped here for months on end and to comprehend all this and began to process this through. But Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us, notice that the divine influence, his power is given to us. He's not talking to preachers. He's talking about to Christians, all of us, given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Well, I wish I had known that when I was wrestling and fighting and yelling at God and all things I did when I first was saved. God has given you everything you need to succeed in your Christian walk. He's given you everything you need to serve him. He's given you everything to overcome your struggles and your problems. He's given you everything. And to be able to turn you to be like God, godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be, listen, partakers of the divine nature. Do you understand what that's talking about? When you're born again, the Spirit's in you, literally you become connected so with the Holy Spirit, you become a partaker of his nature. How is that? That's why he's delivering you from your sins, and he's freeing you and turning you into a person of God or a lady of God, godliness. This is why he's doing this on purpose. That you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Remember Ephesians 2, in the first 1 and 2 verses, it talked about the way we used to live in the past. We lived in the lane, the path of lust. Here, Peter's agreeing with Paul and saying the same thing. The divine nature is to break you from that power of lust and sin of your life and escape that corruption and live a life of godliness instead of corruption. But yet so many in our churches are stuck in pornography and immoral, all kinds of stuff. And yet we are given all we need to escape. It says in verse 5, but also for this very reason, we, this is our side, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. When I came to Jesus, I had the little faith I had to be born again. He did the work, and I said, yes, thank you. I accept. I need you. Please forgive me. I accept you. And God came in. All that divine influence inside me is changing me from faith to virtue. And he talks about, with that faith you have, hold on to the promises that God gave you. Like Ezekiel 36, it says, I got a new heart and a new spirit. Like that kind of promise. God, that's what you said. That's what I was doing roughly without knowing it with my Bible when I had a Bible study with God, as I told you. It wasn't supposed to be exactly that attitude, but clinging to those promises with your faith. And then it says, as you start to find that you're delivering virtue, you're godly, you're living, you're leaving sin, you're walking in righteousness, you're learning to obey. When you leave that sin behind you, it says, as you're there, that stability, then it wants you to take and make sure you get all the knowledge you can so that you can walk in obedience and faithfulness. That's why I was so hungry for the Word of God. He put it because he knew I had to understand it to be able to walk faithfully with him. And he said, once you're there, passing that, you got to work with that knowledge and come to a place where you can find self-control. That's victory over living in sin all the time. I needed that from the time I was first born again. In other words, I'm telling you here, this is a pathway that Peter says, follow this path if you want to learn to be mature in the faith. And he says, to self-control, add perseverance. Perseverance is not winning one battle against the devil. It's like a boxer. Boxer that may win one bout, comes back and gets knocked out the next day, he's not going to be helped. But instead, this is talking about you fight to such victory that you walk through the place where you become perseverance and you're standing, not knocked down anymore. God wants you to be so strong in faith and obedience and self-control that when the devil comes at you, you can simply go, that's all you got. Is that all you got? But till there, you're not strong and faithful. And then it goes on to adding godliness and so forth through here. And it gets to the place where it says adding brotherly kindness. And from brotherly kindness, add love. The most height of maturity you can ever have, where God's taking you, is to love like Jesus. That's why it's the height of maturity. I see less love. But talking about the love that God's talking about is a path that you must learn. You must mature. But that's the goal of where you're going, so that you love the world like Jesus loves the world. That you love your neighbor like Jesus loves the world. And that's where we fail a lot. That's where we fail. If he says one more time that, I'm going to whatever. If you do that one more time, wives can forgive their children for the most wicked sin. If their husband says something, they're ready to knock them out or divorce them and leave. There's a standard that's for kids are okay, but we expect more from our spouse. We expect more from our Christian friends. We expect more. And so we do tend to find ourselves in trouble. A missionary society, a number of years ago, had sent lots of missionaries in the field. And within a year, they're all quitting. It's like, what is going on? They can't handle the culture. They finally found out they couldn't stand each other. They kept arguing and fighting. They couldn't go home because they couldn't get along. The Christians couldn't get along with each other. That's horrible. How are you in the measurement of love here? Is there anybody you can't stand? I remember when I first was a youth pastor at a church, and I had a great youth group. They were really alive and seeking God. But there was this one guy, the adult that came to church, and every time I walk in the door, he comes from my face. And he always wanted to talk to me. And I had a job to do with the youth group, and I couldn't get around him. I got so mad. I was like, Lord, knock him down or something. I can't stand it. I was so mad at him and so tired of it. I had no patience anymore with him. I wanted him to maybe go to another church. I don't know. Just, you know what I'm saying? It was so bad. He just would not let me alone. And then the Lord began to convict me of my sin and begin to realize that to love your brother as yourself is different. So I asked God to forgive me, and I did the opposite. I welcomed him to church. I hugged him. I loved him. And you know what happened? When God moved me from Michigan to Florida, we cried when I left. He became my brother. Love is the core here. I don't know you. You don't know me. So I'm just kind of throwing baseballs at just in case the Lord wants to touch you some way. But if that's something in your life, do the opposite of what you want to do. Instead of trying to push people away that you don't like the way they talk or the way that whatever, go right at them. Love them in Jesus. You'll be surprised what happens. Peter finishes saying these things. For if these things are yours and abound, not that you just heard me talk about it and you go, yeah, I agree with that in my mind. No, if this is so implemented in your heart and life, these things, you will neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. For he who lacks these things, love, self-control, perseverance, he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his old sins. These are hard words. And it says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. See, this is all talking to us. For us to truly, this is a test of who we are. This is what transformation is all about. This is what God wants in your life. All over it, flooding you, coming out of your ears and your eyes and your mouth, everything. Make sure you know your call. make sure you're actually saved. He's actually saying both. You're called to love one another if you don't. You're called to serve if you don't. But make sure if you're not here and not full of this, you better double check and make sure your faith is real, is what he says. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. I put that in bold here because I was like, wow. So an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus. So why do we need to abound in love, knowledge, and discernment? Because he wants us to walk in them, live through them, be all of our lives. And so I need to give you a final call. I know that you might have heard all this before. Paul talks to Timothy about the end days. In 2 Timothy 3:1-5, he warns, a heavy warning. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. This perilous times is not like the world having tornadoes and earthquakes. This is talking about in the church. Inside the local church is going to be perilous times. Why? For men will be lovers of themselves. That's what I lived like all my life till I was almost 20. Lovers of money. If I had money, I would definitely was going to spend it on whatever I wanted. Boasters, proud, blasphemers. He's listing me. This is me, as I was in church. Disobedient to parents, I admit, I did actually obey my parents. I don't know how I got that one right out of all the list. But oh, was I unthankful. Oh, was I unholy, unloving, unforgiving. I was a slanderer and anyway, without self-control. I was brutal with my pride. I despised the people that were, even whatever. Traitors, headstrong, haughty. That was me. I could check off almost every one of them. Every week I went to church and that was me. All hidden behind my nice Baptist smile face that I had. I was so bad. And it says, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And if you heard my testimony, I love pleasure rather than God. I was an idolater. I was everything you can think of. I was that. But here's the kicker of verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. I didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit inside me. I didn't have a power that stirred me. I didn't have a power that drove me to do what's right. I didn't have a power to hunger after righteousness. I didn't have a hunger and power to love other believers. I didn't have anything like that. I was a hollow, empty, religious person. Does this word talk to you? Are you born again? Are you born again? We're going to have a closing song, but let's pray. And if whoever's going to lead the music, come up or whatever. And if God does speak to you at all through this guy like me, and he's speaking to your heart, and you know that some of these things are true, if it is, it's because the Holy Spirit's telling you. If this is you, if you were me or any part of that, and you're not walking with God, even though you claim you are, if you don't know Jesus and you're new to the word, if you know these are things about you, I pray that you don't leave this room today until you get right with God. If that's true and whatever, even if you need to come up and sit until you pray through what you need to, anything. But I'm asking you to respond to the word of God, not me, but the word of God. Are you born again? Do you need to be born again? Do you need to get right with? Do you need prayer? Do you need to pray to God? If that's you, come. Come now. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for this church. They've been faithful. They are so good in their walk with you. I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would speak to them. I pray that you would truly, truly come down upon them with great might and let the city of Stuart know through this place that you are a holy, powerful, miraculous, living God. Use this lighthouse for your glory. I pray for those here that if there's any that hold them back, they need you, Lord. I pray that you would not let them go. Do what you did to me. Make them hungry. Cause them to be stirred. Help them to be convicted. It's you. Bless your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and high school dual enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stewart.org.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab. And it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
Welcome to Taken Studios, the podcast studio designed with you in mind. Whether you're preaching, teaching, or sharing your heart, we provide a professional space where your voice can be heard. With our state-of-the-art equipment, expert sound engineers, and welcoming environment, you can reach Barry at 727-422-4374.
Hi, this is Apostle Joyce Cranfield with the Rosa Sharon Radio Broadcast. Join me each Saturday at 8:45 a.m. on WCNO to hear a message from the Word of God.
Has ransomed me. His grace runs.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.